Welcome to the Vintage Faith Podcast. We are a Foursquare church based in Culver City, California. We're committed to taking care of our community through the teachings of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. Our heart is to encounter God, equip the church, and love the city. Expect to hear sermons from our senior pastor, Matt Kladnick, as well as our guest speakers. For more info, check us out at vffchurch.com.
Good morning, church. I'm Ms. B, the kids coordinator here at Vintage Faith. We like to prepare an activity that runs alongside our sermon each week. So I will go ahead and tell you the supplies that you will need and give you 1 minute to go and grab that. And then meet me back here and I'll explain our activity for today. So you will need a piece of paper and something to draw or color with, or you can grab Play-Doh, or you could even grab Legos. So go ahead and grab one of those or all of them if you want and meet me back here in 1 minute. Ready, set, go. All right, so we are going to take our supplies and we are going to create a well. A well is something that's usually made of stone or brick and goes way, way deep down into the ground. People use wells to collect water from. So I made a drawing. But you can build whatever, you can build it out of Play-Doh or you can build it out of Legos if you want. This is my drawing of the well. So for the older kids, Pastor Matt is going to give you 3 points and you feel free to write those down so you remember those, okay? I drew 3 big water drops and wrote the key words inside them. So I wrote love, curious, and life. That's just kind of what I created, but feel free to recreate this however you guys feel, okay? And the well, you can build those with Legos or you can kind of like, you know, mold it out of Play-Doh too. Have so much fun and meet me back here for a recap after the sermon. All right, let's get ready to hear from Pastor Matt.
Hey everybody, good morning. Pastor Matt here. Hey, thanks for joining us for church this morning. And I don't know where you're watching from or where in the world you're watching from, but just happy to have you with me. I know right now I'm probably sitting home with my kids and enjoying church with you here online. So just happy to have you here with us today. Hey, this summer we have a very special summer series that we're doing, and it is called Sunday School Remix. Wicka, wicka, wicka. Yeah, that's my remix sound. But anyways, we're going to be looking at some of the stories of the Bible that you may remember from learning them in Sunday school. And we're going to be presenting them in creative ways for your enjoyment. You know, there's a good chance that you learned some of these stories as your Sunday school teacher taught them to you while using a felt board. Now, this may be a little bit of a throwback. I'm 43 years old, but I can still remember growing up in Sunday school, learning some of these Bible stories on a felt board. But you know, we don't use felt boards much anymore, and actually they're quite expensive now. They're like antiques, they're vintage now, that's why we're using them. But now we have TVs and we have iPads and all sorts of stuff like that. But before there was YouTube, there was the felt board. So the technology has changed, but the stories are still true. The stories are still real and relevant for us today. You know, I was raised going to church, and I remember these stories, and I remember my teacher's ambitious attempts at teaching me Bible stories while using this felt board. And at some point today, in our time together, and as you watch our felt board story unravel, you may feel yourself being thrust back to simpler times long ago, sitting in a stuffy room, eating stale Goldfish crackers, learning Bible stories while your teacher used a felt board. But for others of you, this is all going to be brand new to you. So welcome to this adventure and this journey with us. Welcome to Sunday School Remix. Our first story we're going to be looking at today is from John chapter 4. Girls, take it away.
Welcome to Bible Storytime with Vintage Faith. Today's story is found in John chapter 4. The story is the woman at the well. Jesus and his disciples were traveling through the land of Samaria. They came to a city called Sychar. There was a well there where the people of Sychar drew their drinking water. Jacob, the father of the Israelites, had dug the well long ago. Early afternoon, it was probably sunny and hot. Wearily, Jesus sat down by the well, and the disciples went to Sychar to buy food. Jesus was all alone, but not for long. A woman who lived in Sychar came to draw water. "Give me a drink," Jesus said to her. The woman, surprised, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman?" she said. In those days, Jews had no dealings with Samaritans. She was probably even more surprised when Jesus said, "If you knew who I am, you would ask me for living water." The woman said to Jesus, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well? Whoever drinks this water will thirst again," Jesus told the woman. "But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. The water that I shall give will become in him a fountain of living water springing up into everlasting life." "Sir, give me the water," the woman said. Jesus asked the woman to go and call her husband. "I have no husband," the woman answered. "You have had five husbands," said Jesus, "and the one whom you now have is not your husband." The woman recognized him as a prophet. She tried to get him to argue about where to worship God, Jerusalem or the Samaritan's holy mountain. Jesus said, "True worshipers worship the Father in spirit and truth." "I know the Messiah is coming," the woman said to Jesus. "When he came, he will tell us all things." "I who speak to you am he," Jesus told her. Just then the disciples came back. The woman left her expensive water pot where they were by the well and returned to the city. "Come and see the man who told me all the things I ever did." The woman told the men of Sychar, "Could this be the Christ?" The man left the city to go and see Jesus for themselves. Meanwhile, the disciples told Jesus to eat. But Jesus said, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." His work was to bring people to God. Many of the Samaritans believed in him because of the word of the woman, and they asked Jesus to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. Many more believed because of Jesus' own word. They said, "We have heard for ourselves and know that this indeed is Christ, the Savior of the world." The end.
What we're going to learn about over these next couple weeks is that every felt board story has a profound lesson that we are needing to learn. But if we'll dig a little bit deeper, we're actually going to find that there's some insights for us as adults that we need to learn to apply too. So not only are these felt board stories helpful for all the kiddos in the room, but I think there's something behind all these felt board stories. There's something one more layer deep that is going to be really helpful for us as adults. But the overarching lesson of the woman at the well is really this. Jesus offers all of us something more than temporary satisfaction. Jesus offers us eternal hope. So again, this is the overarching idea of the story of the woman at the well, is that Jesus offers us something more than temporary satisfaction, but that Jesus offers us eternal hope. I chose this felt board story to be our first one because there's some principles here in this story that I think are very timely for where we are at right now as a nation and right now what we are dealing with in the issues of social justice and racial justice around us. But the story not only tells us a lot about Jesus' message, this story also teaches us a lot about Jesus' methods. And so that's what I want us to discover today, is not only the lesson that Jesus wanted to teach, but also the methods by which Jesus taught these lessons. So not just the overarching lesson, but also the methods. I want to have just a moment of interaction here, and there's going to be some of me talking, but I'm wanting on Sundays for us to engage and interact with the content a little bit more, so you don't just feel so comfortable just to sit and listen for a little while, but there's going to be some questions that go out to you that you can talk about with the people that you're in the room with. So let's have a moment of interaction here. I've got a question for you to talk about. Get ready to share with the people that you're around in the room with you, or maybe you just want to share your answer in the comment section below. But here's a question I want you to spend about 90 seconds discussing with one another, and it is this. What does this story tell you about the kind of person that Jesus was? So let me ask you that question again. What does this story, the story we just read, the story we just saw on the felt board, what does this story tell us about the kind of person that Jesus was? So go ahead, take a moment with who you're with or comment in the comment section. If you'd be brave enough to type your answer in the comment section, I guarantee someone's going to give you a thumbs up for your efforts. But spend 90 seconds. I want to hear your thoughts on that question. Go ahead. As I meditated on the scripture and read it over and over the last couple of days, there were some significant qualities of Jesus that just seemed to come to light. And I think these are helpful for us to know, and these are necessary for us to know. When I think about the type of person Jesus presented himself as in the story of the woman at the well, I saw Jesus as being brave. And Jesus was kind, and he was respectful. Jesus was intentional and he was thoughtful. And boy, these are great words. And I think that there's something here for us to walk in, that each of us should find new ways to be brave, new ways to be thoughtful, new ways to be intentional. But Jesus was a great model for us how to live, right? Looking at this story, what a great example of how to live life, to interact with someone, to treat them as an individual, as a human, and to empower that person. If we could embody a little bit of what Jesus showed us here, we'd all be living a more abundant life for sure. Now, Jesus lived his life to be a pattern for us and to be a model. Jesus is to be emulated. And I don't know about you, but sometimes we find ourselves emulating or modeling ourselves after different people or different ideas. And Jesus is worth emulating, right? There are so many things that I see in Jesus that would be a benefit for us to model ourselves. But in the book of Ephesians, it says these couple words. It talks about us emulating Jesus. And it says this in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. It says, "Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God." See, Jesus not only said transformative things, but Jesus modeled for us what a transformed life really looked like. Jesus lived a life worth emulating. And that scripture talks about emulating God and imitating God. And if you want to behave more God-like, more Christ-like, then look no further than just doing with the things that Jesus did. So whenever I study Jesus, whenever I'm looking at the things that Jesus did, I'm always captured, I'm always convicted, because some of the things that Jesus said and did, they're not things that I say and do. But Jesus' life was a model for us, and we should be following his model. There are three principles, and we're just going to talk about these three principles today from the story that I think are meaningful for us today. And these are going to be very timely things for us today. So kiddos, artists alike, on the paper you have that Miss Bernadette set you up with on your art piece, you're going to be able to fill in some of these phrases here. So number one is this. Again, we're looking at the principles that Jesus showed us with how we are supposed to care for people around us. And so number one is this. Jesus loves everyone. So go ahead and write that down. Jesus loves everyone. And this would be a great Sunday school story. Then we could read it and we say, oh my gosh, Jesus does love everyone. Even the woman at the well, even with all of her issues, Jesus loved her. But I want to push it a little bit deeper. And this is us going a little bit beyond the surface. We're going one more layer past the felt board to see something even more significant than that. But I want to say this to you adults in the room. It isn't that Jesus loved everyone. It is this, that Jesus blatantly disregarded racial boundaries. I want you to see that. I want you to hear that one more time. Jesus blatantly disregarded racial boundaries. And on a first look at this, it doesn't seem like a big deal. Jesus was on a journey. He decides to go through Samaria and he has a conversation. But I want you to see a little bit more than that. Jesus going into Samaria was way more significant than Jesus just going, cutting through a land in order to get from where he wanted to get to. Traditionally, if Jews traveled from Judea, headed for Galilee, then they would take a very easterly route as to avoid Samaria and the Samaritans altogether. And so traditionally, if you're traveling up north and you needed to go past Samaria, Jews would bypass Samaria and go the long way around and avoid that place altogether. Now, why in the world would someone want to make their journey even longer than it was? And here's the reason. Because Jews and Samaritans did not get along. They were enemies. And they had a long, ugly history of hating one another for an awfully long time. And there was lots of pride, lots of arrogance, and there's just this history of wrongs committed on both sides of the story. And so for Jesus as a good Jew, it would have been wiser for him to take the long route to get up to where he needed to go to Galilee and not even have to step foot into Samaria. You know, here in Los Angeles, sometimes you have to be mindful about certain conditions as you're traveling. If you want to get from here, where we are at church, to maybe downtown LA, you need to factor in a couple things. You need to factor in if there's any construction on the freeway. You need to factor in if there's any traffic on the freeway. You need to factor in, is there a big event going on in the city? All these things can be detrimental to your journey. And Jews avoided Samaria not because of traffic, not because of congestion, not because of a construction or big events. Jews avoided Samaria because Samaria was full of Samaritans. And they just did not want to mix with one another. And here's the real reason why this is a big problem. Ancient Jews had this thing. They were all about purity. Purity was a big issue. And actually, if you look at Jesus' life, much of the challenges that Jesus had with the Jewish leaders was they had a standard of purity that Jesus didn't have. Like Jesus was hanging out with sinners, and this was a purity issue, and this is why the religious leaders didn't like him. Jesus was hanging around sick people, and this was a purity issue, and that's why they were angry with him. And now, so for Jesus to go and enter into Samaria was Jesus, someone who represented, as we know, this pure and holy life, to go into Samaria was an impure thing to do. And so this is part of the challenge that we have here at this story, is that Jesus goes out of his way not to be safe and comfortable, but Jesus goes into the middle of a very bad situation and a harmful situation, a disastrous situation. If we read in this story, the disciples are confused and bewildered that Jesus would even think of going into this place. But some of the criticism of Jesus' ministry was this, in fact, that Jesus didn't see broken, impure people as problems. Jesus saw impure, broken people as God's people who needed rescue. And so that is why Jesus moved straight into this. What made this event so profound for you and I as we read the story today is this, is that Jesus didn't let racial offenses hinder him from engaging someone who desperately needed grace. Jesus didn't let, and he never let, racial offenses hinder him from engaging someone at their most immediate point of need and their most necessary time of needing grace. Jesus didn't let it do it. And I think there's something here for us today. We are in the middle of a racially charged environment around us. Now is not the time for us to try to take the long road around the subject, but we should engage right where it's at. Jesus didn't let historical offenses, Jesus didn't let racial or ethnic differences compromise an opportunity for someone to receive grace. And if we want to live like Jesus, if we want to be people that emulate Jesus, then we can't avoid people because they are different from us. Jesus didn't avoid people because they were different from him. Jesus embraced people that were different from him because that's what God does. Remember, our God is a God of reconciliation. He is constantly gathering and reuniting us back to one another again. And so should not be a surprise to us that Jesus himself would look to gather people far from God. And so Jesus goes and he entertains and he moves into the life of the Samaritan woman. The Samaritan woman was an impure person. She was half Jewish and she was half Gentile. But Jesus saw past the ethnic, the racial, the historical offenses, and saw this is a person who needs God's grace. The news for us today is this. We've got to be people who are sent on mission just like Jesus. And just as God sent Jesus into the world, Jesus has sent us into the world. He's commissioned us to be into the world. And it's not just us against the world. And I think some churches have that posturing that it's us against the world. We got to protect ourselves from the world around us. Not so here at Vintage Faith. It is not us against the world. It is us for the world. When we talk about being the church, we're saying we got to embody the values that Jesus has for us and go into all the world sharing his goodness with everyone. And so the first principle is this: love everyone. And for you adults in the room, I want you to know that you have been commissioned to look and move past racial boundaries to extend God's grace to anyone who needs it. Number two is this, and the second principle I want to talk about is that Jesus was curious. I love the back and forth of the conversation between the woman at the well and Jesus. There's this dialogue, there's this interaction. And what I see here is that Jesus was curious. And this is a word that's been really important to me recently, is this idea of being curious. Because sometimes I'm not curious. Sometimes I jump straight to being judgmental. Sometimes I jump straight to fixing things rather than being curious. But I love how Jesus postured himself as being curious. Jesus postures himself as asking questions. There is this give and take in the relationship. There's this back and forth of dialogue between Jesus and this woman. And I think there's a big difference between people that say, let me fix this and help me understand. There's too many people in the world right now who want to fix everything. And there's too few people who are just simply saying, help me understand. Help me understand. We've been doing these interviews the last couple weeks with friends in our community who are African American, and we're just trying to posture ourselves and saying, help me understand, because there's so much that I don't understand about the injustice around us. And I have to fight the temptation to want to fix all these things, but I really need to help to be understood. I need to understand what's really going on. And that's exactly what Jesus does right here. He seeks to be understood. He seeks to be curious and identify what's going on. And the reason Jesus is curious is because Jesus wants to not deal with the superficial issues. Jesus wants to deal with the root issues. And isn't that exactly what Jesus does with the woman at the well? He doesn't just tackle the superficial issues, what's going on. He goes straight to the root issues. Now, a couple things that make us understand that is that she's getting water. It says at the sixth hour, and that means she was getting water at noon at the hottest part of the day. This would have been the best time to get water if you didn't want to bump into anybody. So historically, most of the women would come to get water early in the morning while it's still cool out. The water hole and the well that they were at was a place of community, a place of relationship, of interaction. Maybe like the water cooler at someone's office or something, but maybe the Starbucks down the street is your well. But she is there at a time of day when no one's going to be there. And there's a reason why. She didn't want anybody to know her. She didn't want to have any interaction. Well, Jesus meets her right there, and Jesus engages her in a way that fosters a dialogue and an interaction. Jesus didn't come out of the gates swinging with accusations. Jesus didn't come out and convict her of her wrongs right away. Jesus comes and he enters into a curious conversation. You and I would be wise in a time like this to be more curious. Instead of wanting to fix more things, that we would simply be more curious. I love how Jesus interacted with her, especially regarding this issue of her and her husbands, right? And I love how Jesus presses in and he leans in a little bit. And in John chapter 4, verse 16, it says this: Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come here." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." And Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true." Jesus' curiosity created an open conversation, not an accusation and not a dismissal of her hurt and her feelings. And I think there's something for us here as you and I posture ourselves with people who are in the middle of injustice and brokenness right now, that we posture ourselves and we say, "Help me understand," rather than, "I'm going to fix you," or, "You're doing this wrong." Help me understand. We got to be more curious. We need more conversations and less finger pointing at people, right? Wouldn't it be something if our politicians sought to have more understanding than more of a platform from which to communicate their agenda? Wouldn't it be better that way? And I can't do anything about what the politicians are saying or what they aren't saying, but I can do something about how I am leaning into the community around me. And I think there's something marvelous about this idea about being more curious, asking more questions. You know, we should be pursuing one another with curiosity and thoughtfulness. Being curious, it tends to open up conversations. If you've ever been curious about something, haven't you noticed how that person opens up and they want to share more? Rather than coming in accusing someone, that there is this openness that happens. And I think that's much, much more healthy for us. But Jesus shows us the power of curiosity. And I think this is one of those things, one of these principles that you and I should live by a little bit more so. And lastly, this: Jesus offers us something we could never get on our own. Jesus offers us something we could never get on our own. And number three, kids, you can write this down, is Jesus offers us everlasting hope. Jesus offers us everlasting hope. Jesus' conversation with the woman at the well was more than just an exchange of information. Jesus wanted her to personally experience the power of God for herself. The woman at the well, she had this epiphany moment, right? As we heard the story, as we saw the story on the felt board, as Jesus interacts with her and as Jesus says some words to her, she has this epiphany that this guy, Jesus, he may be the Messiah, the one promised to come. And she has this epiphany. And in this epiphany, she realizes that the place that she worships, the way in which she worships, the ways that she has sought love and affection on this planet, that they all matter for nothing. But what really matters is this man, Jesus. And I think Jesus is constantly wanting to reveal his goodness to the world around us. And this is some of the reason why God has left you and me on this planet. It isn't just to kind of hold things down until he shows up. But Jesus has left you and I so that we could reflect his goodness to the world around us. And as Jesus interacts with this woman, she has this epiphany moment where she realizes some of the things she's built her life on are unstable. And Jesus offers her a new way of life, right? Instead of something that could be temporary, and you remember she's drinking at the well, and they're having this conversation, and Jesus says, if you drink this water, you're just going to get thirsty again, but I offer you something even better, living waters. And so this is the invitation that she accepts, and she realizes, oh my gosh, there's more to this life than what I have been pursuing. I have been pursuing something that is temporary and something that will not complete me, but Jesus offers me something that will last forever and will complete me. And I think this is epiphany some of us have had. And I know for myself, this is the epiphany that I had. I had this moment where I realized that all the work and all the striving that I could ever do would never make me feel accepted by God. I could only trust him and his sacrifice that I am worthy and I am accepted as God's son or daughter, not based on anything I could do, but merely because of the grace that God has given and because he has paid every price for me. That epiphany, it opens you up to a whole new world. It opens up to being filled with these living waters that now you never have to want, that there is this endless supply of grace that God has for us. But she realized that she mattered. And I hope you know that is God's word for you today too, is that you matter. You really do matter. You are so significant. You are so important. And Jesus, in all of his goodness and mercy, is trying to make a way to your heart. And you might be watching this today, and I just don't know about your story and this stuff, but I think we may be able to see a little bit of yourself in the story of Jesus and the woman at the well. You may feel like there are obstacles, that Jesus saw racial obstacles, there were gender obstacles between Jesus and the woman at the well, but Jesus shows us, and he models to us that there is absolutely nothing that can get between Jesus and you. There's absolutely nothing. There's nothing that can separate you from the love of God. There's absolutely nothing. And in her brokenness and in her desperation, she encounters Jesus, and it transforms everything about her. Now, let's just fast forward a little bit in the story. What we didn't see on the felt board, what we saw on the felt board was that she encounters Jesus and has this really terrific moment. What is so beautiful about the story is kind of what happens afterwards. After she meets Jesus, she has this epiphany that Jesus is the Messiah, the one come to rescue everyone. She goes into the city and she tells everybody. And so let me pick up on the story. And so you don't know the implications of one good decision. You don't know the far-reaching ramifications of one good decision. As she puts her faith in Jesus, let's just see how this decision spreads out to all these different people. So if you follow with me in John chapter 4, verse 39, it says this: many Samaritans from town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world." Your personal experience of lasting hope, it will change your life. But you don't know the far-reaching implications of your transformed life. What we see in this city, this Samaritan city, is that Jesus moves in. Jesus comes in, he has a conversation that is curious, and he brings hope to a woman who's desperate. Her life is transformed and changed. Her eternity is changed. And she goes into the city, and a whole city is turned upside down all because of one person's decision. I want you to know that you just don't know the ramifications of saying yes to Jesus. It may be a good thing for you, and it will be, but it may be a great thing for you don't even know who in your life. The story of the woman at the well, it teaches us so much about how we are supposed to treat one another. He loved everyone so much. and he disregarded racial boundaries. Jesus was curious. You and I would do well to be better, more curious. And he brought lasting hope to somebody. In just a minute, Grace is going to come on and she's going to talk to you about some of the things that you can do so that you can start your relationship with Jesus. But I hope that that would be your adequate response today, as you would say, today is a good day. I have met Jesus in his grace and his mercy and his compassion. And today I choose to surrender my life and I want to follow Jesus. We've made it really simple for you, and Grace is going to tell you everything you need to know so you can start your relationship with Jesus. Let me pray for you as we move on. God, thank you so much for your word. I pray that it would be powerful and active and sharp, that it would teach us and correct us and encourage us in every way necessary. God, I pray that we would be encouraged today to be more curious with our words. God, I pray that you would help us to be brave as we have hard conversations with people. Help us to be full of grace as we interact with one another. And God, I pray that we would be messengers of hope. God, fill us with your peace and your joy as we go through this world. God, thank you for your peace and your joy and your presence. In Jesus' name. So Grace, go ahead. Tell us more about what we can do so that we can grow or start our relationship with Jesus.
Hey there, thanks so much for joining us online today. I'm Grace Kladnick, one of the pastors here. And before we got off, I just had to quickly ask you, how are you and Jesus doing? That might seem like a weird question, but the first place to start in your Christian walk is to say yes to Jesus. And you might be watching here, and I don't know where you're from or your background, but God does. And I want to say that he is ready and willing to run this race with you, to run this life with you, and give you everything that you need. And so it starts with saying yes to Jesus, acknowledging that Jesus died on the cross for your sins. He covered it. His blood covered everything. And he rose again 3 days later. And we can believe and trust in a God who is alive and active and moving on our behalf. And he just desires that you have relationship with him. And so it's really easy. We say that you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord and you're saved. And not only do we get to spend eternity with him in heaven, which is awesome, but you get an awesome life. You get a life that's empowered by the Holy Spirit, a life that's filled with hope and courage as Jesus runs with you and as we come alongside you, and we can be your family too. So let us know if you're saying yes to Jesus for the first time today. Put it in the comments just so that we know and we can celebrate with you and we can follow up with you. Because we want to send you a Bible and we want to be your friend and we want to answer any questions that you have and pray with you. So yes to Jesus.
Hey kids, how did your wells turn out? Snap a pic and tag us on social media at VFF Kids. I would love to check out your artwork this week. So let's take a sec to recap. I love the story of the woman at the well. There are so many things that you can take away from it. Like, if you can remember a time when you didn't fit in at school, or maybe a time when you wanted to play with a group of people, but they wouldn't let you, that's kind of how the Samaritan woman felt. Not too many people liked her, but Jesus went to the well to meet her specifically. This is how Jesus is. He loves everyone. He wants to be with those who are hurting and those who hurt, because he loves everyone. And the gospel is designed to unite us all. Okay, so second, think about this. Usually us adults like to tell you children that Jesus has all the answers, right? But think about when he met the woman at the well. He asked her a question first. That is interesting, right? Jesus is curious and he wants to ask questions and build a relationship with us. Point three is Jesus offers us everlasting life. Everlasting means forever. Wow, that is a long time. But that is one of Jesus's special gifts for us, is that no matter what happens to our earthly bodies, that we get to spend eternity with him in heaven. And what we do with our earthly bodies here on earth every day while we are here will live on forever. Think about stories that your parents tell you about your grandparents or your great-grandparents or your community, people in your community. Those are stories that are going to get passed down from generation to generation over time. And your story is going to be in that mix at some point. All right, kiddos. Well, I hope that helped break down today's sermon for you a little bit. And if you have any questions, feel free to email me at kids@vffchurch.com anytime. Lastly, I just want to say a quick thank you to all of our kids who hopped on our VFF Kids Summer Zoom call last Thursday. That was so much fun. And also to all of the families who came to our drive-through yesterday and picked up your summer starter kit. That was awesome. It was so good to see all of your faces. So if that was you, check inside your bucket, grab your raffle ticket, and right here on the screen are the winners of the raffle, okay? The numbers will be right here on the screen, so take a look, and if that's you, if you are a winner, go ahead and email me at kids@vffchurch to claim your prize. One last thing, kiddos, don't forget to hop on to vffchurch.com and head online to the kids section where you can watch your very own Bible story and have an activity that'll last you for the week. It's a fun one this week. Check it out. Alrighty, kids, thank you so much for joining me today. I love y'all, but Jesus loves you more, and I will catch you next week.